I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. It's a familiar story to all of us. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me. I was naked, and you gave Me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of Me. I was in prison, and you visited Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of My family, you did it to Me." Then He will say to those at His left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from Me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome Me. Naked, and you did not give Me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then He will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Lord add His blessing to this reading of His Word.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the reading. As Jim said, this is a familiar story. And the problem with familiarity in Scripture, when you read, it's all too often you miss the point. Or you only see one point and you don't see what else is being said. And our gospel writers are people who are trying to convey a message other than just telling you a story. It's easy to look at this and say, oh, it's judgment. If you're good, you're going to go to heaven. If you're bad, well, you know where you're going to go. But that's not the story. If that were the story, then there would really be no point in even telling it, because I think most of us know that. We could even go to the Old Testament. We could go to other books in the Bible. That's just not the message that Matthew wants to give us. So I'm going to invite you again, as I did last week, to see this in a different perspective. We need to not just see judgment in this. The theme of judgment is certainly here, as it is throughout Matthew's gospel. Matthew wants us to know there is tension between obedience and disobedience, so he lays out these stories for us to say there's that tension. Are you going to obey Jesus or are you not? But he's referencing something even earlier on in Scripture. Remember the Beatitudes? You see, Matthew laid out the Beatitudes, and then later he kept coming back to that, saying, are you actually going to live the Beatitudes? Are you really hearing what the Lord is saying? If you read what Jesus says in this, you can go back to the Beatitudes and find them. They're all there. Obedience does not always prompt admiration, but it should. It should, because many of us love to see obedience. How many of you who have raised children loved it when your children were obedient? If you have a pet, how many people admire a pet? When someone says sit, they sit.
come, they come. And you say, I admire that obedience. So obedience is definitely a wonderful thing. But the famous American poet and educator Archibald Rutledge wrote that one day he met a man who had just had his dog killed. The dog died when they were out together. The man was heartbroken, and he relayed to Rutledge what had happened. He had this wonderful dog who always obeyed him. They went out into the forest because that's where the man worked. And they were in a clearing, and the man set his lunch bucket down, and he asked the dog, or told the dog, stay, protect. And then the man went to work in the forest. Problem is, a fire started. The man couldn't get back to the dog, and the fire closed in on the dog where he was in the clearing. The dog didn't move. Didn't even think of it, because this was what he was supposed to do, is protect that lunch bucket. So the dog stayed there, and he died. The man was heartbroken. This animal was so obedient to him. With tearful eyes, the dog's owner said, I always had to be careful what I told him to do, because he would actually do it. Now I want you to think about this, because this is what Matthew's putting out here for us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if in the Gospels we read that when Jesus says do something, it's done? Wouldn't it be wonderful if it were the case that Jesus speaks to you and me and says do it, and he knows that we have the obedience to do it? The question that this passage gives us is, are you that faithful servant who will have perfect obedience to your master? Or will you fudge a little? Yeah, I know, Lord, you said to do this, but I kind of want to do my own thing. It would be wonderful for Jesus, for us to read his words and to hear him speak to our hearts and say, whatever you say, master, that's what I'll do. But we all know that's not going to happen. We also know that we're forgiven. And that's a very good thing that has happened. And it didn't even happen with Jesus' own disciples. We can read the stories where Jesus and his disciples are going, and Jesus says, do this, and sometimes they're like, yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. Jesus is going to talk to someone. The disciples say, don't do that. We Jews don't like those people. A Samaritan. They didn't always agree with what he did. But let's turn. We're going to look at the two groups that Jesus talks about in this story that Matthew presents. You know, the ones on the left, the ones on the right. The ones on the left are the goats, the ones on the right are sheep. And as we go through this, I want you to kind of try and decide which one you are. I know, you're all sheep, but two things for us to make note of. Both groups asked Jesus, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison? When? Tell me when. Did you notice? Both groups asked that question. But the meaning that Matthew puts in it is what I want you to hear. Because he gives a different meaning for each one, for each group. Let's start with the group on the left. This group almost immediately began to make excuses. In fact, I would say not just an excuse, but if you reread this, you'll hear them say, but it's your fault. They blame Jesus. You know why? Well, if you had revealed yourself to us, we would have done all of that. But you never revealed yourself. Wow. That's the story Matthew gives us. I never saw you reveal yourself to us as the Christ, therefore I never helped anyone else. Have you ever blamed the Lord for any shortcomings you may have? Well, I would have, Lord, but... Have you even indicated that it might be Jesus' fault that you don't do things? Well, the group on the left did. Let's go to the right. These folks asked the same question that was asked of the people on the left, but they respond with, how? How did we do that? Now, this is what we might call holy ignorance. That is, they did the right thing, but they didn't even realize they were doing it, and they didn't realize why they were doing it. Is that you? Do you do the right thing, but you're not really sure why? Or how you did it? How did I do that? How did I follow Jesus? I don't really remember doing that. When you read the Beatitudes or this passage, do you begin to think, oh yeah, I've done that. Or I'm doing that right now. Well, without even realizing that you're living the gospel, because that's what Jesus calls us to do, is to live it. Not just tell it, but to live it. Both groups faced the same mix of suffering, danger, risk, tribulations, and most likely disappointments. But the group on the right managed to still do the gospel, to live the word of Jesus Christ. They still managed to do that. And they were going through the same problems as everyone else. It has been said, if two angels in heaven were given assignments by God at the same time, one of them to go and rule over the greatest nation on earth and the other to go sweep streets in the dirtiest village on earth, each angel would be completely indifferent as to which one got which assignment. It simply wouldn't matter to them. Does it matter to you? Are you one who just follows obediently? I may not be comfortable with it, but if you want me to do it, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. It's a really important question. Why? Because the real joy, this is what Matthew tells us, the real joy lies in being obedient to God. That's the real joy. It's not about which assignment you get, but in obedience to God. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, we would see the important thing isn't what God has us doing. The important thing is that we're doing it for God. Think about it. Jesus, He knows He's going to go to the cross, right? He knows that. And He went in obedience to God, which sets the example for you and me. How do you feel about that? You heard me mention the group on the left seems to blame the Lord for not doing what He taught. We can look at that. We can look at the first group on the right. Here's the group on the right. Then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when was it we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we do that? And Jesus says, you did it to others, therefore you did it to me. But the left, then they also will answer, Lord, when was it we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Jesus said, I'm not asking you to take care of me. I'm asking you to take care of my brothers and sisters. I'm asking you to take care of others. If we go out into the world and all we're ever saying is, it's Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you need to love Jesus. Come to church and be about Jesus. But we're ignoring the brothers and sisters in Christ. That's not the message. We're missing the point. It's when you minister to other people that they see the true gospel. You hear the difference? One is questioning. The other is kind of accusatorial. And what is that accusation? You never revealed yourself to us. The group on the left did not know mercy or joy because they did not live in the Spirit of Christ. They didn't follow the Beatitudes, as Matthew put out there. And here is your different perspective. This text, although it has judgment in it, is really about mercy. Is it not? You fed me, you clothed me, you helped me when I was sick. That's all mercy. That's what this is about. Jesus tells this story to demonstrate that one group is and was merciful without even knowing why or even wondering why. It was just their nature. The other group says, well, if we had known, which is totally off the mark. It wasn't about Jesus. Jesus wasn't saying, I wanted you to care about me. I want you to care about God's children. That's where this is. Brothers and sisters in Christ, which is you and me and everybody around us. The question for us is, has our community of believers, our church, been formed in a spirit of mercy? Matthew asked that question. If not, then we're going with the goats. So often we want to make our Christian lives about Jesus, but Jesus made it about mercy and about the brothers and sisters. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Nowhere does he say, me. Forget everyone else. Just think about me. Throughout his ministry, he preached, taught, and set the example that his followers should be a people of mercy. That was his life. Feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, helping the poor, healing the sick, welcoming the stranger, and clothing the naked. Being a living example. That's what he taught. It's what he lived. A great preacher closed his sermon with an earnest and eloquent gospel appeal. Among the many, who responded was a woman of wealth and social distinction. She asked permission to speak a few words to the audience. This is what she said, and this is a true story. I want you to think about it. I want you to know, she said, just why I came forward tonight. It was not because of any words spoken by the preacher. I stand here because of the influence of a little woman who sits before me. Her fingers are rough with toil. The hard work of many years has stooped her low. She is just a poor, obscure washerwoman who has served in my home for many years. I have never known I've never known her to be impatient, speak an unkind word, or do a dishonorable deed. I know of countless little acts of unselfish love that adorn her life. With shame, let me say, I have openly sneered at her faith and laughed at her fidelity to God. Yet when my little girl was taken away, it was this woman who caused me to look beyond the grave and shed my first tears of hope. The sweet magnetism of her life has led me to Christ. I covet the thing that has made her life so beautiful. At the request of the minister, the little woman was led forward, her eyes streaming with glad tears, and such a shining face as one seldom sees on earth. Let me introduce you, the minister said, to the real preacher of the evening. And the great audience arose in silent, though not tearless, respect for the living example of Christ. Every one of you, every one of us, can preach a sermon by the way we live that'll be more powerful than any words that we could speak. Here's the great revelation of Jesus' teaching. In our call to obedience to the Word, we are called to be living examples of the Word. And in so being, we enter into our Master's joy. It was in the text. Jim read that for us. Come, enter in to your Master's joy. Because you did the right thing. You helped others. You reached out to my brothers and sisters. That is the message. Talk about revelation. You read this text and all you read is, yeah, there's the good and the bad, and the good are going to go here and the bad there. You're missing it. You got to ask yourself, why is the good good and why is the bad bad? Because one actually lives Christ. The other is still wondering why they should. Jesus says, don't make it about me. His whole life says, don't make it about me. Make it about those around you. As we enter this season of Thanksgiving, as we come upon Christmas, may we remember that there are those out there who need us, need our help, whether it be family, friends, or a stranger. And we are called by Christ to serve. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for the opportunity to serve and to do things in obedience to you. And Lord, as we enter Thanksgiving, we ask that you bless our families, that you keep them safe. If we're traveling, that you travel with us and keep us safe. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your Son. Be with us, guide us, for we ask this in his name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.